One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo DeKeel for your Eastern Conference Finals Game 5 post-game live reaction. The Boston Celtics just absolutely stomped the Heat in this game. They win 110-97 again, Mo. All of a sudden, a 3-0 hole has become a 3-2 two-game series, Mo. If the Boston Celtics can win two games in a row, they'll become the first team in NBA history to ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in a series as it stands now, thanks to friend of the program, Sagar Trika, for this stat. The Celtics are only the 15th team in NBA history to even make it to a game six after being down 3-0. This is incredible.
Okay, first off, the Celtics are close to, a step closer to breaking a 150 series streak. Like, that's pretty impressive in that regard and in all of those things. And we'll get to the whole game thing and talk about how and all that stuff in a moment. But I have a question for you, Dave. And this was posed to me, and I said, wow, this is an interesting moment here. And I'd have to ask, I wanted to ask this on the podcast. If the Miami Heat, who were given a 3% chance to win this series at the start of the year, the start of the series, blow the 3-0 lead, do we still call this a choke? Like, they were never favored, even when they were up 2-0. They were still not favored to win the series. Do we call this a choke if they blow a 3-0 lead? I want to hear your answer. I have my answer, but let's see what you have.
Yeah, I think it's a choke if you blow it, I think it's got to be a choke. They beat the one seed, right? Like, I mean, this Miami Heat, we can say whatever we want about them. They're clearly not a play-in team. They're better than a play-in team. And the Celtics, they have their warts, right? Like, we've talked all year about the parity. No team is perfect. That being said, there's a reason why the NBA prefers a seven-game series. They want that predictability. They want the regular season to matter. They want the home court advantage to matter. And so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, even in this game tonight, I think Boston was favored by like 7.5.
Yeah,
so,
no, 8.5. Eight and a half.
Going there you go. So I don't know, Mo. I think it's still a choke, though, because that's sports.
I think you got to consider it a choke. And and here are the things I'm going to say. After game three, there seemed like no life at all in Boston. There were moments in game four where it looked like Miami was going to take over and they didn't. And I think the ultimate thing, too, is, you know, Spo being the first coach to possibly give up a 3-0 lead is something. It's significant in that regard. How big of a choke job, I think, depends on how the next two games go. If there's two games, are they blowouts? Do they get blown out the next, you know, they lose at home, blown out, and then get lose at home in game seven in a blowout, then I might go like, oh, definitely a choke job. But how much of a choke job we consider it will be interesting. But when they were up 3-0, I was just like, there's no way Miami loses four in a row. And they've lost two in a row, and now I'm very curious.
I didn't think there was any way they were going to lose two in a row, much less three or four. But now that the Boston Celtics seem to have figured something out, who knows? I mean, let's talk about this.
I don't want to go Boston's figured something out. What? They did the stuff they made were shots. Supposed to do.
That's
no,
right.
No, but not even that. It's not even about making shots, because I want to get into it with the game.
Yeah.
The very early on in this game, what did Boston do offensively? They attacked Kevin Love. This wasn't the first game Kevin Love started. He's been starting all the other games. But they went ahead and they attacked him. That first quarter, they came out and laid the smackdown on Miami from start to finish. Tatum was awesome. 12 points. I thought he got off the ball quickly. They shot the three ball exceptionally well. 7-12 from three, which is something we know that they can do. It was just their pace and the way they played. They got off the ball. They ran offense really well. I thought they ran offense and stayed a lot away from the isolation stuff that I think bogs them down. And they defended. Like, that's that right. was just across the board. That first quarter was phenomenal.
It was the best. I think it's the best quarter that they've played in this series. They won the quarter 35-20. And it was not just the shot making. It was like you mentioned, they defended. And in this game, they actually created turnovers. Miami had some careless ones, but they caused a lot of turnovers too. They had 16 turnovers the Miami Heat did in this game. And let's not forget second chance points. Boston won that battle too. They won the fast break battle. They won the 3-point line battle. When you win all at every single front, you're going to win more games, right? But the Boston Celtics have more talent. This was the frustrating thing about the first three games of this series. And to me, the difference is that you're getting, I mean, Al Horford has been fantastic, I think, defensively out there. And I didn't know if, you know, between starting him and Grant Williams, I would lean Grant Williams. But I mean, you look at the last two games, it's hard to argue against Al Horford and what his spacing has meant for their offense.
I mean, not even that, just his defense on Bam, I think, has been phenomenal. Bam was in jail all game today. Bam finished 8 of 15. A lot of those came after this game was already kind of in hand for the Celtics. You know, he struggled a lot. Jimmy Butler struggled immensely in this game, and he looked like he wasn't that into it to begin with. Kyle Lowry, like, this is the problem with the Gabe Vincent injury. Now Kyle Lowry moves to the starting lineup. Now Kyle Lowry has to play 30 plus minutes for you. He's got to carry a heavier load offensively. Like,
but he's not. That's a problem, Mo. See, I'm glad you said that, because he was only 2 of 6 in this game. I want to get your opinion here. There's a little bit of that Chris Paul thing happening with Kyle Lowry for some reason. He looks scared to shoot to me.
It wasn't even that being that big of a problem for me, Dave. Like, I don't need him to shoot. I just need him to get into offense and not have 4 turnovers. And some of these turnovers were literally just coughing the ball up off the dribble without really that much pressure defensively. Like, I don't need him. It'd be nice for him to have to hit some shots and then to get going and knock some stuff down and things like that. But I just, more importantly, if I'm like Miami, I just don't need him to turn the rock over. And he did that in abundance.
Yeah, but that's the difference between going from Gabe Vincent to Kyle Lowry, is that Gabe Vincent can generate offense for you. I thought he's been great in this series, especially attacking off the dribble and getting downhill. And it makes it so that when Caleb Martin comes in, you've kind of got an offensive first guard out there at all times. And so Kyle Lowry is never, he can initiate offense, but you've got other guys who can put the ball on the floor and score. And that was, you know, to me, the big thing missing for him tonight without Gabe Vincent. But I just, what's the change got to be for Miami to break up Boston's offense? I mean, they're just getting like wide open looks, man.
Right off the bat, you're starting Martin over Kevin Love. Plain and simple. Like, there's just Kevin. This is not they got away with it for three games in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I started this podcast, this should have been stuff Boston was doing from the beginning. And it's not all Mazzulla. These guys tend to just not attack the matchup sometimes. But this is the right off the bat, I'm starting Caleb Martin over Kevin Love. There's a good chance I might not even play Kevin Love at all in this series. The rest of this way, really, in this series. And I think that's an important distinction of that. Because, look, man, you put Kevin Love out there, that's a target. Eventually, you're going to put Duncan Robinson out there, and that's another target. And another guy, the Celtics, that did a great job attacking in this game. And I feel like those are the things, like, we talk about this all the time. Playoff weaknesses, they show a lot more. They're beginning to come up again right now for Miami. And this, I mean, listen, this isn't panic time, Miami, but it's nervous time. You got to be scared here a little bit. You're kind of running out of answers for some of the questions that are coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Haywood Highsmith played 35 minutes in this game. I mean, he was actually fairly productive. There was a difference between having him and Kevin Love. They started the second half with Highsmith out there instead of Kevin Love. And I wouldn't be surprised, like you were just saying, Mo, maybe they do go to Caleb Martin. What if they went with Highsmith in the starting lineup? Just have some speed, some athleticism out there. He went 3 of 4 from three. It's a different look, and you can sort of maintain, you know, a little bit of your staggered lineup, especially if Gabe Vincent's able to go again. I don't know. Maybe that's a little crazy.
I mean, no. To be honest, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, you started him in the start of the second half. Like, why? Yeah. You know, you could have started Martin right there. Highsmith might be a guy. He's been pretty good. He was good in this game. Doesn't mean he's going to be good in game 6. Let's just be honest here. Right? There's no guarantee with these things, and sometimes consistency. But, like, I just know you can't start Kevin Love to start this game in game six, because you're already saying, hey, here's a target. You know, right off the bat, early in this game in the first quarter, Tatum ran a pick and roll with Kyle Lowry and Love as the defenders, and Love doesn't do a good job of getting in front of Tatum in time to buy time for Lowry to recover, who's also a slow guard, and he's leaking out already to his man, and it gave Tatum a wide open lane for an easy dunk in this game. Like, I think those are the things that are concerning. You got to kind of take that away a little bit if you're Miami, I think, to start the game.
Yeah, and we should talk a little bit more about Boston, and in particular Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. We hit them hard in their bad games. We got to give them some credit when they have good games. Marcus Smart, 23 points in this game. I thought his playmaking really made a difference for him. And then Jaylen Brown hit a few threes. He hit that open corner three early on in the game, hit a three off the dribble. And I sent you a text. I was like, oh, okay, I think Jaylen Brown's starting to feel his shot again. And, you know, lo and behold, winds up with 21 points. But just overall, just better effort, I thought, from those guys. They were more connected and not, you know, just kind of trying to make it all happen on their own.
Though, I mean, that's one of the pitfalls for them offensively for the Celtics that tends to happen. That's why I loved the game they played today. And I thought they did a great job with just the finding each other and playing with each other instead of let's do it one-on-one and saying there were still times they reverted back to the bad offense, but most of the time they stayed in the good offense. And you know what, the really shout out to Tom Haberstroh, because I'm going to steal his line, the big number to me, Jason Tatum with 11 assists. I thought he did a great job reading the defense, not forcing things. Hey, they're doubling me, get off of it quickly. And I think Miami was slow to get out of the doubles. I thought they were slow in their rotations. And I thought they did a great job attacking them across the board for Boston. And I want to give one more guy a shout out, because he's gotten crushed all the time. This is the second game Joe Mazzulla has coached exceptionally well. I thought he used his timeouts really well, very quickly to stop runs and get them back into offense. I haven't been able to go look and see how many times he called a timeout and then a run was started like he did in game four, which happened a whole ton. I think this was another good coached game from Mazzulla here. And like, he might be learning here a little bit. I was very impressed with how well they coached him in this game, and I thought that was a good one there for them.
I was gonna say, he's in my notes here to mention that we're watching him learn on the fly. Legitimately, we're watching him learn how to coach in the playoffs on the fly. He's never done this before. So, you know, when we hit on him sometimes, we're a little bit hard. It's, you know, you grow into this usually. You're not normally thrust into it your first season as a head coach. And I mean, so far the timeout usage, being more aggressive with those timeouts, you know, you can't take them home to feed your family. You know, you don't get to carry him over to the next game. So just being more aggressive and using him has been great. And Jason Tatum, those 11 assists, that's a season high. He had two games during the regular season where he had 10 assists. So that's a great sign to me. When he's sharing the ball and guys are cutting, which is a huge problem for Boston, when the movement stops, they just don't get any looks. And tonight, I thought they did a really good job. You got anything else on this game?
No, you know what? This is going to be an interesting one for Miami. Like, this will be a very interesting game six. They got nothing from Jimmy Butler early. Bam was not very good. We talked about Lowry. Like, they're going to need those guys to kind of step up and really kind of make plays here. Like, this is going to be a big one. And the last thing they want is going to Boston tied 3-3 after being up 3-0. Like, that's not going to be an easy game seven. That's a challenge with everything that comes to, you know, just, I mean, forget it. Game sevens are tough. Boston won it last year on their floor. Maybe Miami can go do it on Boston's floor. But that's just so damn hard. And it's just, I think game six might be their season right now.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this show. Thank you guys for listening. Join me and Mo and Seth for Nerder right after this. It'll be coming out, if you're listening live on YouTube, it'll be coming out tomorrow, early afternoon. If you listen to the pod, it'll be out in a couple hours. So until then, for Mota Keel, I'm Dave DeFore, and this has been the Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding.